And this is WFUV in New York, celebrating 50 years as Fordham University's voice. We are less than 1 minute away from the silver anniversary edition of the big broadcast, saluting Russ Colombo, Henry Red Allen, Sophie Tucker, the songs of Ali Rubel and Seymour Simons, and live and in person in the WFUV studios, the King of Nostalgia, helping me celebrate 25 years of classic pop and jazz on the big broadcast, Joe Franklin. Joe Franklin coming up on the big broadcast on 90.7 FM, WFUV.
Good night, sweetheart. Till we meet tomorrow. Good night, sweetheart. Sleep will banish sorrow. Tears and parting may make us forlorn, but with the dawn a new day is born. Good night, sweetheart, though I'm not beside you. Good night, sweetheart, till my love will guide you. Dreams enfold you, in each one I'll hold you. Good night, sweetheart, good night. The day is over, and its cares and woes, in peaceful, sweet repose, will fade and die. A dreamy dreamland beckons you and me. How happy life could be if we could dream forever. Banish sorrow, tears and parting may make us forlorn. Ah, but with the dawn, a new day is born. Good night, sweetheart, though I'm not beside you. Good night, sweetheart. Still my love will guide you. Dreams enfold you. In each one I'll hold you. Good night, sweetheart. Good night. Good night, sweetheart. Good night.
do. Nice people, fine people, Arabian people. Yes, yes, I've met some very nice people. Some very, very, very nice people. But you meet the nicest people in your dreams. It's funny, but it's true. And that's where I first met you. And you're the nicest, paradisest thing I ever knew. I've looked the universe over, from Wackenack, Sac to Dover. And now that we have met, how sweet it seems. I love you more the more I know you, which only goes to show you. You meet the nicest people in your dreams.
Thank you very much, Fats. This is Rich, Silver Threads Among the Silver, Connedy, welcoming you to a Franklin-speaking edition of the big broadcast, number 1,270 on 90.7 FM WFUV. We opened this silver anniversary edition of the big broadcast with Russ Colombo, October 1931, a Ray Noble composition, Good Night, Sweetheart. Then in 1930, Henry Allen Jr. and his orchestra singing pretty songs. Here's Al Boley with Ray Noble in 1933. It's an Ali Rubel composition. And so, goodbye.
That we must part, and so goodbye. Oh, please don't cry. Remember that we shed a love divine here, though it could never be yours and mine without goodbye. Oh, love, how I yearn when you're not near to me. Oh, where shall I turn for one so dear to me? And so, goodbye. If it is forever or just a while, dear, let us depart with a tear, a smile, and so, goodbye. Thank you.
hold the lady in red. The fellas are crazy for the lady in red. She's a bit gaudy, but Lottie, what a personality. Oh, the lady in red is fresh as a daisy when the town is in bed. Dancing and dining and shining with originality. She's very proper, she's nothing more than a pal. But oh, me and oh my, you'd never stop her. She'd be a dangerous gal if she should ever meet the right guy. Oh, the lady in red, the fellas are crazy for the lady in red. Is she a study, oh buddy, what a personality. Met the girl who's the toast of the town, a work of art without a question. You better write her number down. I'm nuts about the lady in red.
On your very own big broadcast, 90.7 FM WFUV, Cliff Weston with Joe Hames Orchestra, 1935, The Lady in Red, from the picture In Caliente. The Lady in Red, written by Mort Dixon and Ali Rubel. Before that, Al Boley with Ray Noble in 1933 and So Goodbye, an Ali Rubel song. Ali Rubel, born in Middletown, Connecticut, January 15, 1905. He had hits to his credit from the early 1930s into the 1960s. He died in 29 Palms, California, December 13, 1973. On tonight's big broadcast, the songs of Ali Rubel, Al Boley, we've got Seymour Simons, Red Allen, Russ Colombo, Sophie Tucker, and yes, Joe Franklin, also known as the King of Nostalgia, also known as the Wizard of Woz. He's here, and we'll be hearing from Joe Franklin in just a minute. It's 8:15, and yes, this is the big broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV. I'm Rich Connedy, youthful and handsome star of the big broadcast, a program for the old and the old at heart. And if you're listening for the first time this evening, well, you've missed the first 25 years of the big broadcast, but nevertheless, welcome to the big broadcast radio family of the air. Up next, Dick Powell in September 1934, a Mort Dixon, Ali Rubel song, Flirtation Walk.
Because with you, there's nothing that won't come true. A long flirtation walk. Here we are at last, our misgivings of the past are a laughing matter now, my dear. Love will always out, and I never had a doubt that I'd find your arm in mine right here. I always knew someday I'd accompany you along flirtation walk. A dream foretold, a story that you would unfold, that lives forever and never grows old. I always felt that your little heart would melt along flirtation walk. That love would rise and light up your lovely eyes for me, only for me. The dreams we had are fulfilling their thrilling appeal. The kiss you gave me began this. Oh, can this all be real?
It's more than grand, it's more than I ever planned. I'm much too happy to talk, because with you, there's nothing that won't come true. A long flirtation walk.
Thank you.
If it's Sunday night and it sounds like this, Dad burn it, it better be the big broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV. Tonight's big broadcast with Joe Franklin. He's coming up next. We started out with Dick Powell in 1934, a Ali Rubel composition, Flirtation Walk. After that, a Herb Magidson Rubel collaboration, Music Maestro Please. Lou Stone's band in 1938, the vocalist Al Boley. Al Boley was born in Maputo, Mozambique, January 7, 1890. Made his first records in Berlin in 1927. Traveled to London in 1928, where he sang with the Lou Stone Band and made wonderful, wonderful recordings with Ray Noble's orchestra. Came to New York with Ray Noble in 1934. They opened up the Rainbow Room. He was killed in London. A bomb hit his home. April 17, 1941. And finally, we heard Hocus Pocus, a Will Hudson original, I think, Fletcher Henderson's orchestra in 1934, Coleman Hawkins on the tenor saxophone, on trumpet, Henry Red Allen. Red Allen, born in Algiers, Louisiana, January 7, 1908, played with King Oliver in 1927, was featured with the Louis Russell Band from 1929 until 1933, went on to play with Henderson, the Mills Blue Rhythm Band, and Louis Armstrong's backup band. He was playing until shortly before his death in New York City, April 17, 1967. I'm Rich Connedy, and this is the big broadcast, our silver anniversary edition, coming up at about 8:45, an Allen, Columbo, and Boley edition of Crooner's Corner. Saturday night, don't forget about Standard Time. Next Sunday night, the songs of James V. Monaco and Arthur Johnston, early Gene Krupa, my guest in the studio next Sunday night, Phil Schapp, my guest coming up in just about 10 minutes, the king of nostalgia. I am very proud to say that Joe Franklin is on tonight's big broadcast. Russ Colombo, born in Philadelphia, January 14, 1908, played violin and sang with the Gus Arnheim Band, made his first records with Arnheim in 1928, first solo recordings in 31. He died tragically young in Los Angeles, September 1934. Russ Colombo from his last recording session, the end of August 34, a song written by Mort Dixon and Ali Rubel, I See Two Lovers.
I see two lovers on the moonlit sand in a land of palms. And as he takes her little trembling hand, she melts in his arms. I see two lovers in a land apart, heart to heart, what bliss. And in my loneliness, I see them start, one heavenly kiss. I hear their song at the shrine of love, the wine of love flows free. Is there no voice in the spring of love to sing of love with me? I see two lovers while alone I stand by the sand and sea. I wonder when I'll find the trembling hand fade and tender for me. Heavenly music, gorgeous perfume, voices of night, a silvery light chasing the gloom. Soon a sweet picture comes into view, and my heart is still before a thrill I never knew. The shrine of love, the wine of love flows free. Is there no voice in the spring of love to sing of love with me? I see two lovers while alone I stand by the sand and sea. I wonder when I'll find a trembling hand fade and tender for me.
Finding that you still remember one very sweet September when you were mine, my own. It's grand to hold your hand man have you phoned me? So grand to understand, you've not forgotten, dear. It's so nice seeing you again. You are even more appealing. I always go on feeling your mind, mine alone.
The tune you'd sober soon, that is the natural law. There's a younger generation knock, knock, knocking at the door. Why sit and fret, vainly regret things that have gone before? There's a younger generation knock, knock, knocking at the door. Though the world is well lost for love, dream there's wisdom above, dreams to compensate mothers and wives. When the joys of youth have passed them, this should last them all their lives. I've had my fun, all that is done, why should I sigh for more? There's a younger generation knock, knock, knocking at the door. Younger generation knock, knock, knocking at the door.
Direct from the Victor 78, Al Boley with Ray Noble's Orchestra, September 1932, the younger generation, Noel Coward from the show Words and Music. Before that, Maxine Gray with Hal Kemp's Orchestra, 1935, So Nice Seeing You Again. Mort Dixon, Ali Rubel from the picture We're in the Money. We began with another Dixon and Rubel collaboration from the picture Sweet Music. Russ Colombo from his last recording session, August 1934, the Jimmy Greer Orchestra, and I See Two Lovers. On the 25th anniversary edition of the big broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV, coming up on tonight's program, Jimmy Durante, Rudy Valli, and Mae Questel. I'm Rich Connedy, and folks, I couldn't think of anyone I'd rather have help me celebrate 25 years of the big broadcast than the king of nostalgia, the man who practically invented nostalgia. From WOR Radio, literally a cultural icon. Joe Franklin, welcome to the big broadcast.
Well, Rich, I would say that between us, we are both sort of iconovitches, and I think that we're probably the last of the connections or the last of the link people to an era that your audience and my audience strives to recall, and that would be a connection to a gentler, easygoing, nicer era. It's Americana, it's culture, and I mean, I've said this, I guess, previously, but never here. You can't knock what's current. You can't knock rap. You can't knock heavy metal, rock and roll. You can't knock whatever is of the moment. But I've got information revealing that 22 cents, Rich, of every dollar spent on entertainment in this country goes toward what I would call romanticizing the past, which means, I said, you can't knock heavy metal, you can't knock acid, but 20% of every dollar goes toward people that are buying Gone with the Wind or The Wizard of Oz or Casablanca or Citizen Kane, or they're buying compilations by Tony Bennett and Judy Garland and Fred Astaire and Bobby Vinton, and they're watching Three Stooges and I Love Lucy. So it's a very big part of the marketplace. I go to record stores and I go toward the nostalgia bin. The salesman recognized me. He said, Joe, we're all out of Fred Astaire right now. We're out of Judy Garland right now. So it is part of our marketplace.
And the neat thing about CDs, they keep unearthing previously unreleased takes, or in the case of movies, they uncover film footage that had been cut from the original production. Part of this new technology that's around has really been a boon to the nostalgia business.
Well, when I get some of these CDs, I mean, from labels like Rhino, I mean, when I, as you say, they recapture and reassemble a whole movie score with 5,000 outtakes of Mickey Rooney and Donald O'Connor and Debbie Reynolds and Red Skelton. I mean, I say to myself, the man hours, the labor, the patience, the meticulous editing and digital rewiring. I mean, I hope they get paid what they're entitled to. I think it's in many cases a labor of love. They could never be paid enough for what they organize, right?
What you say reminds me, I'm sure you're familiar with the folks at the Vitaphone Project. They go around matching up soundtrack discs with otherwise silent films, and they've got the cooperation of Ted Turner and the major studios. But for the amount of work that those people do, I'm sure they're not compensated in any way.
Couldn't be.
No.
Frame by frame, shot by shot, shadow by shadow, how they take that old sound on disc and they attach it to the side of the video or the celluloid. I mean, it's magical, just magical. It's, I can't believe it. I've got a lot of those 12-inch sound on discs that they used to play when sound movies first came in. And so, of course, if they were playing it in a movie theater and somebody would bump into the projection booth, the film would be out of sync for the next 10 minutes. But, of course, every 10 minutes was a brand new disc, so it caught up again 10 minutes later. But it was a fun era.
Now, I mentioned I've got coming up later on the show Durante, Valley, and Mae Questel. It would not surprise me if you didn't have all three of those people as guests on your television program at one point or another.
Rudy Valley, 155 times. I used to live in his house in California, which I think Arsenio Hall owns now. And Mae Questel, of course, was a very dear friend. I used to use her on commercials. And she made some hit records of her own without being the voice of Olive Oil or Betty Boop or Little Audrey. I guess, you know, sometimes she played the voice of Popeye.
I heard that,
yeah. When Jack Mercer, I think, was sick, she did Popeye. And she would gargle with Santa Flesh and Liquid Plumber to get in the mood, and Drano, you know. But who else you mentioned, Jimmy?
Jimmy Durante.
Very close. I presented an Al Jolson Remembrance Night when Jolson died. I was 18 years old. And Jimmy Durante called me at Carnegie Hall. We did the show. And Jimmy Durante said he wanted to volunteer and get up there and do a Jolson routine. Jimmy was the greatest. Never knew how to say no. Jimmy Durante never knew how to say no. I think I'm a little bit that way myself. But Jimmy, I'd walk down Broadway with Jimmy, and somebody would say, Jimmy, will you come to my house Saturday night for lasagna? Yeah. Jim, will you come to my church Sunday night and do a benefit? He would say, yeah. But he couldn't because he was booked with, you know, commercial engagements on those occasions. But he just never learned how to say no. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Durante was the nicest man that ever lived, the kindest, nicest man. And I'm glad that there are a few of us that are keeping those names, those flames alive.
Well, Joe Franklin, I am so happy that you decided to say yes to tonight's big broadcast.
Well, the big reason, of course, is, I mean, how could I not say congratulations to a young man named Rich Connedy, whose program I love, and I know that it's hugely popular because you've been mentioning, I guess, a few weeks that I'd be here, and every place I walked, they said, Joe, Rich Connedy said you're going to be with him tonight. So, and it is a very important way of life. You can't deny that. Nostalgia lives, thanks to us.
Yeah, we're not doing bad, are we?
Paying the rent, right?
That's right. Let's get back to, we've got the George Hall Hotel Taft Orchestra with Sonny Schuyler, and a song written by Mort Dixon and Ali Rubel. Ali Rubel, born 93 years ago Thursday. He died in December of 1973. On the big broadcast with Joe Franklin on 90.7 FM WFUV, To Call You My Own.
Spoke of resting, never suggesting moments of love. It all was nothing but pretending, till after all, this grand ending. I never saw the moon, but it smiled on us one night, and your lips gave me the right to call you my own. Thank you.
and a pouch of tobacco and a windswept bag. Boy, how they can entertain one hurricane. Back and neck and sack and wet a pouch of tobacco and a windswept bag. Boots, Emma, you got your mama and your travels in Greece. South Dakota, you got a soda, handshake, milkshake, 10 cent piece. By golly, treat you nice. By jingles, wait the price. Back and neck and sack and wet a pouch of tobacco and a windswept bag.
Listening to the big broadcast on 90.7 FM WFUV. We began with an Ali Rubel song, To Call You My Own. Sonny Schuyler with George Hall's Hotel Taft Orchestra, 1935. After that, from September of 34, Down South Camp Meeting, the Fletcher Henderson Band with Red Allen, Ben Webster, and Buster Bailey. And we opened this Hemi Henry edition of Crooner's Corner with Nagasaki, Henry Allen crooning and trumpeting with the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra in 1933. Red Allen, born 90 years ago, January 7th. He died in April 1967. I'm Rich Connerty, welcoming you to a silver anniversary edition of the big broadcast, 90.7 FM WFUV. And if you've just joined us, my special guest on tonight's big broadcast is the King of Nostalgia, Joe Franklin.
You might call this a transition of words. I just heard you mention the silver anniversary. Rich, of course, again, congratulations. We'll talk about your contribution later on if you want me to. And we got to mention Danny Stiles. You, me, and Danny Stiles, we're the big three, right?
That's it.
But anyhow, silver. And the man who popularized and became famous with a song called That Silver-Haired Daddy of Mine, Gene Autry, called me tonight as I was running out of my office. He wants me to help him find a certain old record, and I told him that I was on the way to Rich Connerty's show, and he says, congratulations, and he's going to make a little audio anytime you want to say. Do you ever do the station breaks where you have celebrities saying you're listening to Rich Connerty and stuff like
I'm
that?
I'm going to start with you.
Really?
I will. I'll start with you tonight. New policy.
Gene is 91 years young
oh
and king of the cowboy. In fact, I think, I don't know how I got into this, Richie, but he is the only true billionaire in show business. You know, you hear about Bob Hope. Bob Hope was close, you know, but Gene Autry is the only real billionaire, you know, the only entertainer he does nowadays, maybe, you know, some board meetings where he has such far-flung interests as oil wells and radio stations, TV stations, but I love Gene Autry. I've had him on the air. And I had the ones, I guess, that Who might be some of the ones that you remember watching on the Joe Franklin show?
Well, you know, I wanted to say to you, Joe, when you mention a billionaire, I'm thinking one of the people that you had on your show very early on is probably close to that level now, which is Bill Cosby.
The nicest kind. I mean, here I am talking about Jimmy Durante being the nicest. Bill Cosby, when he was on my show the first time, did not have car fare to come from the Village Gate or the Bitter End, whatever it was called. I gave him car fare. And later on, when he signed that $190 million contract for the recyclings of the Cosby Show, he came back on my show to say thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's a gentleman, right?
Absolutely. And I, as I was saying, I know you're proud of people like Cosby and Barbara Streisand and people that you gave, in many cases, their their first breaks on the air. But when I was growing up and watching your TV show in the morning,
yes,
I would always get a kick out of seeing some of the people that who had been around a while already then. The one that comes to mind, I remember turning on the set one morning, and there was Darla Hood from the Our Gang comedies. And to me, as thrilling as it is to see a Cosby or a Streisand for the first time, as somebody, as a young person watching, to see an Our Gang member on your show, and I think that was as much a part of your TV show as the new talent.
That was part of my flavor, part of my milieu, and I guess that could have been an Our Gang revival week, because that same week, later in the week, I had on Spanky McFarland, little Spanky, sadly no longer with us, I had Gene Darling, and I had Mary Kornman, who played the school teacher, and I had Hal Roach Jr. talking about his dad, who produced those Our Gang comedies, which later on became The Little Rascals. So I've specialized, I guess, down deep. I mean, you can't fool the public. The public knew when I was getting a little bit blasé. I was interviewing certain rock and roll people. They could tell I wasn't really interested. But when I would be chatting with Arthur Tracy or with Kate Smith or Rudy Valli or Harry Richmond or Ted Lewis, the audience knew that my boyish enthusiasm was percolating. I mean, Arthur, of course, was kind of bitter because he couldn't get on the Bob Hope show. So one day I had Bob Hope and Arthur Tracy together, and I would say, Bob, I'm going to confront you now. I know it's kind of rude. Here, you got the number one rated TV specials in the world. You use all the big stars. Why not Arthur Tracy? He said, Joe, I love Arthur. I'm crazy about Arthur, but my format is only of the moment. Everything that I do on my TV show must be contemporarily of this instant. I do not use nostalgia. So you couldn't argue with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Arthur Tracy didn't want to accept that. Arthur,
oh, I remember he said to me,
yeah,
he has George Burns on the show. Why doesn't he have the street singer?
Yeah, because sadly, you know, there was no comparison in terms of audience recognition. And he had Bing Crosby on, but that's about all. I mean, those were the giants.
Yeah.
Jack Benny, if he was in the mood, but he wouldn't go back to the obscurities of the early 1930s, which in no way takes away from the fact that Arthur Tracy, the street sweeper, I mean, the street singer, was a an all-time in fact, you talk about multi-million selling records. He once told me that his recording of Marta, Rambling Rose of the Wildwood, by virtue of the fact, Rich, that it was recorded and issued over and over again, sold something like 23 or 33 million copies, and is to this day maybe the fourth or biggest selling record in the history of the world, in the world of singles, after White Christmas and Donkey Serenade by Alan Jones and a few more like that. That it's, you can't deny that Arthur Tracy retains his place in historical importance, right?
Yep, absolutely. And he was huge in
days have grown so lonely, for I've lost my one and only. My pride has been humbled, not only to you, but I'm yours, body and soul. I was a mere sensation. My heart was caught with no foundation, although we have stumbled. But I'm yours, body and soul. But life before me, the future has shown me, winter, that's gray and old. Unless it's magic, the end will be tragic, and echo the tale that's been told so often. My life relies upon you. What is the good? Am I without you? My castle has crumbled, but I'm yours, body and soul. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah land. I see a great day dawning. You better heed my warning. Stay on the right side of the road.
Thank you.
Ray Noble's Orchestra, 1933, a Ted Kohler, Rube Bloom collaboration, Stay on the Right Side of the Road. Robin and Ranger song before that, In the Park in Paris, 1933, Al Boley with the Lou Stone Band. And we began with Henry Allen's Orchestra, 1935, Body and Soul. On this, the silver anniversary edition of the Big Broadcast on 90.7 FM, WFUV, Big Broadcast, classic pop and jazz, Sunday nights, 8 to 11 for as long as I can remember, on 90.7 FM WFUV. On tonight's Big Broadcast, I am privileged to have in the studio the king of nostalgia, Mr. Joe Franklin.
By the way, talking about congratulations to you, I'll congratulate me for a second, because tomorrow I begin my fifth year on Bloomberg, you know, that was once known as WNEW. And I began there when it was 11:30 a.m. on the dial, and now I'm back on 11:30 a.m. on the dial. It's now called WBBR, and I do my nostalgia reports there, and I'm going to do a two-minute tribute to the 25th anniversary of Rich Connolly.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
And but isn't that what you would call going full cycle, that I began there when I was about 15 years old, and I'm back on the same wavelength now, all these centuries later, right?
Home again.
Yes.
And, of course, Joe Franklin is heard every Saturday night at midnight over WOR. Joe, I wanted to ask you, how far back does your association with WOR go?
I began on Channel 7 when it was WJZ-TV, about 1951, and I stayed there till about 1966 when I got a phone call from WOR, and they said they'd like to give me a radio and TV combination package, so I went over to Channel 9 in 1966, and I began radio. I was on radio then every single night, but then it got to be a little bit too much. I was on after Gene Shepherd.
I didn't know if it was before or after Gene Shepherd, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun, and I did TV till about 3.5 years ago, and I think that Jerry Seinfeld is not the only one who quit before he got evicted. You know, I quit at the peak of my fame doing TV. I did. I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest running TV show, about 28,500 guests. No, 300,000 guests and 28,500 episodes of the Joe Franklin Show. And as of now, I'm just doing radio, and I've got 8 companies, Rich. Not on bended knee pleading, but 8 companies. Cable stations and real stations asking me to go back on TV. I might make a big announcement in March. I had now we're getting into private business. I had to return a $75,000 retainer. I was supposed to start something last October on TV. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have the energy. So I figure now sitting here with you and reminiscing, you're going to give me the old jolt and say, Joe, go back on TV.
Absolutely.
Right?
I can't wait to hear what the news is in March.
If I do, you'll be one of my opening guests, right?
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. I'm going to hold you to that.
And you were mentioning that you might be able to get me a copy of what I heard you playing before, that Russ Columbo, that Al Boley rendition of Music Maestro, please. That was so clear and beautiful, the way they can bring some of these 78s to life. Sometimes when I hear them on CD, they're occasionally a little bit too sanitized or robotized, but sometimes the CD comes through even as beautifully as the original, right?
And a lot of the British records were very well recorded, very bright sounding, and I don't know if it was the studios or how they recorded them, but what's really amazing is, almost without exception, the records that that we play,
yes,
were recorded with one or two microphones.
Isn't amazing?
And sometimes horns.
It's like big band remotes. They did it in a hotel room with the noises, with the waiters, with the dishes, with one little microphone overhead and no cosmetic, no aesthetics. And they came out so beautifully, these big band remotes of Tommy Dorsey and Vaughn Monroe. And I really think that Al Boley, and I'm glad you play him, I think he deserves his spot there, almost alongside Crosby and Columbo. You know, you were mentioning you're going to do something by Russ Columbo. I had Bing on my TV show, and we had lunch that day, and I asked him about that world-famous Battle of the Baritones, that big, big feud between Bing Crosby and Russ Columbo. He told me on my show he didn't even know there was a feud until he read about it one day in the newspaper. You know, it was what you call a manufactured call it feud for thought, you know. So many of those show business feuds are fake. But Bing and Russ, I believe, were pretty good friends.
Well, probably the biggest tongue-in-cheek feud was the Jack Benny Fred Allen.
That was the greatest, huh?
They went for 20 years with that.
And Fred Allen, of course, was devastatingly original, hilariously great. And every time he would get a huge laugh, Jack Benny would say, "Fred, you wouldn't dare say that if my writers were only here," right?
Joe, you were starting to say before about your fifth anniversary with your nostalgia reports on WBBR 1130 AM.
Right.
I guess it wasn't even 1130 when you started on WNEW, but tell about your association with Martin Block.
Was WNEW once 1150? I'm not sure.
I think it was further over to the right.
Whatever, maybe, yeah. But anyhow, I went one day, Rich, to have a lunch with a lady named Maureen. I forget her name. She was an old pal of mine. She was the receptionist at WNEW. And I was waiting to go out and have lunch with her when a young man walks out named Martin Block and says, "Hey, kid, you want to work for me?" I had no idea what it was all about. He says, I said, "What do you mean, sir?" He says, "My record picker just quit or got fired. I need somebody to pick my records." And I said, "What have I got to lose? I'll try it for 6 weeks." And I knew nothing about music. I didn't know Harry James. There I was, ready to go to work for the king of popular music, Martin Block, the number one disc jockey of all time, except for you and me. But I took the job, and a young man named William B. Williams took me in the room that night, and he gave me an overnight. Remember the name William B. Williams?
Mm-hmm.
He gave me an overnight course in Big Bands. Taught me Benny Goodman, Harry James, Warren Monroe. And there I was choosing. I was a lucky kid. I was about 16 or 17, choosing the records for the number one record picker in the whole world. And he would start. He would start the quarter hour. He would do a commercial. And then he would say, "Joe, play the records for 13 minutes. I'd play them back and forth, the 78s on the two turntables. And he'd come back and do another commercial, start the next quarter hour. And then he'd say, "Joe, go in the hallway. Bring in Frank Sinatra. Bring in Dinah Shore. Bring in...
You know, not the records, the person.
The real people, yeah, right. I should have made that clearer. And I was a lucky kid. And then one day he got me my own radio show. He says to me, he liked me. I was nice to him. And I would make his life easy. I would go get him his powder for his ulcer, you know. he was a marvelous man, and he got me my own radio show. He said, "Joe, I'm going to get you your own show, but don't compete with me," as if anybody could compete with him. So I went out and I bought old records for a penny apiece, and I became unwittingly the first person, I guess, to really break the ice on nostalgia. And
from the very beginning, when you were on the air, you were playing music that was older than what was current.
Way older. I'd go to record stores and I took Martin literally when he says don't compete with him. I mean, he played the brand new releases the minute he got them first. He got them before anybody in the world. He got them when they were still in test pressing form. But I go to antique shops or junk shops and I buy a record for a penny. I buy an Al Jolson record or a Casement, and I put down a penny. And I go on the radio that night, mm-hmm, and I say, "Ladies and gentlemen, here's a collector's item that's worth $500. I'd make up these incredibly ridiculous figures. I'd go back to the record store the next day, and I'd pick out four records, put down four pennies, and walk away. The dealer would say, "Come here, kid." I'd say, "What do you mean, kid?" He would say, "I heard somebody on the radio last night saying these records are worth a lot of money." So I unwittingly, single-handedly, Rich, I think I created what was known as the rare record market, or the collectible, or the collector's item. I did. I think I was the first one, or among the first, to push the words collector's item.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped to popularize, I didn't create, but I helped to popularize words like memorabilia and sentimentalia, and it's a good part of our lexicon today, right?
I'll say. Well, we're going to get back to some memorabilia right now. The Romeo of the radio, Russ Colombo.
Great man.
1932, on the big broadcast, 90.7 FM, WFUV, with Joe Franklin, Paradise.
We lived and loved, our day is through, but each night in dreams, it started anew. She comes to me as she used to do, my love. And then she holds that I understand. Her eyes are fire with one desire, then a heavenly kiss. Could I resist? And then I dim the light above, and then we kiss goodnight above.
Thank you. dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. Oh, what a tune, what a tune, all crooning. Ink, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. It's got the whole world spooning. Eskimo bells up in Iceland are ringing. They've made their own paradise land singing. Ink, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo simply means ink, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. Ink, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. Just a crooner, just a crooner. Ink, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. There's a little bit of Bing Crosby in me. Eskimo bells up in Iceland are ringing. Come on, Jimmy, here comes the finish. Pep it up, hit it. A dink-a-dee, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. What a voice, what a voice. Simply means ink, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee.
The Big Broadcast, 90.7 FM, WFUV, starting out with Russ Colombo, 1932, Paradise. Then Coleman Hawkins and his orchestra with Red Allen and J.C. Higginbotham, Jamaica Shout. And finally, a soundtrack performance, I think, from the picture Joe Palooka, 1934, Jimmy Durante and Ink-a-Dink-a-Doo. That final selection, Jimmy Durante, taken from Joe Franklin, the King of Nostalgia, presents the Big Vaudeville Show in the Sky. There are four volumes of this?
Four different volumes. I think there are 12 more scheduled to come out, and it's a compilation of my favorite records, pretty good label, Sony, right?
It's not shabby at all.
Not shabby. Pays, buys grits, pays the rent. And Jimmy Durante, we just mentioned that he was the best. I once accompanied him from his home at the Hotel Astor to his appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I've got a photograph someplace of me standing there with Ed Sullivan and Jimmy Durante, and that was a highlight moment. Were you a fan of the Ed Sullivan Show when you were a kid?
Absolutely. In fact, I mentioned to you off mic that we got Sophie Tucker coming up. I remember seeing Sophie Tucker on the Ed Sullivan Show. There were so many great acts. I mean, not just the Topo Gigio and the plate spinner, but a lot of classic performers would pass through the Sullivan Show. I don't know how many people realize that Ed Sullivan started out as a columnist. And, in fact, he had the column. I forget, would he work for the Herald?
For the Daily News, originally. It was sent out to Hollywood, and then he came back to New York, and they just wanted somebody to host a variety show on Channel 11. I think it was called... first it was a golf show. It was a 15-minute show based on golf. Then they expanded it, they broadened the horizon, and they called it Toast of the Town.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the critics used to call him Toast of the Tomb, because he didn't smile very much, but he outlasted all of them. That was a way of life. I mean, the Beatles made their debuts there, Elvis Presley made his debut there, and he was, I think I mentioned on my own show once, I don't know, somewhere, every time I walk down Broadway and I pass that Ed Sullivan Theater, which is now David Letterman's home, mm-hmm. I said to myself, what a shame that Ed couldn't be around to see that his name was on a marquee on the Broadway that he loved so much. And as you pointed out, Rich, he never pandered to the lowest common denominator. He gave the audience on his variety show Eugene List and great classical stars. And I mean, he'd also give them, as you said, the Dancing Bears and Topo and Gigio and Signor Wences. But he was—he gave us great opera, and he was—he's very much missed. Without him, you don't get to see your favorite comedian. You don't get to see Alan King anymore. Mm-hmm. Don't get to see Buddy Hackett anymore. Don't you miss those?
Absolutely, it was vaudeville.
You don't see Connie Francis anymore, right?
He was doing a vaudeville show for people every week on television.
Joni James, right?
Yeah, so many, and they've put out a number of CDs I don't know if the kinescopes exist, but the soundtracks, they put out CDs of Louis Armstrong's appearances on Sullivan. A lot of the great, I mean, every time a big Broadway musical would open, he must have adored the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals because there were so many cases of the original cast performances live on the stage at the Ed Sullivan Show.
Now, that Ed Sullivan bit would always revive a sagging box office. Ed Sullivan was a sure cure for a show that needed a good goose at the box office. He was very popular, and I did read, I think yesterday somewhere, or the day before, I think in Kay Gardella's column or somewhere, that the Ed Sullivan Show is being revived now, the old tapes on the UPN network. So mm-hmm. I think that could be one of the few reasons I'll go back to watching TV. I miss that show. I really miss it.
Well, the minute you come back on TV, that's going to be the reason for a lot of people to start watching again.
Well, you know, I've got in my files, Richie, about 500 Joe Franklin shows. But a very funny thing happened. The station, Channel 9, and not viciously, not deliberately, just to make space, they shredded all my releases. They shredded the signatures where people signed to come on the air. And that somebody, and my son, by the way, was very bright. He figured out that they shredded about $8 million in autographs. They shredded the autographs of John Lennon and Ronald Reagan and Bruce Springsteen and Cary Grant. And, you know, but we're trying to work around that to maybe get a surety bond and put a little bit of the best of Joe Franklin into release maybe by Christmas of 1998. Me with, you know, with Bing Crosby and with some of the greats, mm-hmm. John Wayne, Bill Cosby, and it would be, I think it'd be a big seller.
Absolutely. Here's somebody you mentioned that did a whole bunch of appearances on your show. We've got Rudy Valley. This is a song written by Walter Bullock and Ali Rubel. Ali Rubel, born 93 years ago this week. He died in 1973. Now, here's a Rudy Valley record, not with his Connecticut Yankees, but with a British band, Carol Gibbons and the Savoy Hotel Orpheans, 1937. Joe Franklin, a Rudy Valley memory.
Let me just tell you one thing. I'm so glad you said that, Rich, because this is for the benefit of the young people now who are about to hear his voice. Rudy Valley, for your information, boys and girls, was probably the most popular. I mean, take anybody's popularity. Who are the big three today? Metallica, Rolling Stones, Madonna, Spice Girls, Michael Jackson. Put all their popularity together. That doesn't equal the popularity of Rudy Valley alone. At the peak of his mm-hmm. fame, he was the biggest smash, the biggest draw. I mean, he'd be doing five shows a day at the Brooklyn Paramount, five shows a day at the New York Paramount, going back and forth in a police car with the sirens. This man, he was on the radio with the Fleischmann's Yeast Hour. I mean, the man, he was so, when he got married or divorced or in a little bit of a scandal, it was bigger than Richard Burton and Liz Taylor by 40 times. This